Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
That's what was laying in that manger. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom." He was reading the fulfillment of Scripture and making a declaration in his adult life of what his purpose was, what God the Father had sent him to do, what he was anointed to do. Can I tell you, that's what was laying in that manger. Not Christmas trees and Christmas presents and the commercialized things that we see today, but what was laying in that manger changed our lives for all eternity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want you to listen to this. Ben has no idea, neither did the worship team, what I would be preaching today, even down to their opening song as a Christmas carol. And I believe if you listen to the message, you'll still hear the harmony of what God was trying to say to us here in this house this morning. The power in Christmas. I want to give you some questions. These are some introductory remarks, if I may, that I'll be reading, and I'll probably get into preaching toward the end of the message. But I want to lay some foundation for what I've been hearing the Lord say. First, let me ask you this. Have you ever considered the power in Christmas? For one, there's an empowering of joy. Everybody smile for a moment. There's an empowering of joy. There's an empowering of life and a celebration. For some of us, man, we just look forward to it. I think it was Neely or someone that posted a picture on Facebook that showed Grandma's house and the Christmas tree. And presents were stacked halfway up the Christmas tree. And Grandma says, "Come over to my house. I got some gifts for the kids, just a few things for them." But when you see the photo, the gifts are covering the whole floor. And, you know, that's kind of how grandmas do sometimes. Can you say amen? We all have a different view. For some of us, the holiday season, the Christmas season, Thanksgiving, all of those things is full of joy. We look forward to grandbabies and grandchildren and great-grands and sons and daughters. But not everybody's like that. I can still remember the first Christmas after my mother passed away. My mother passed away on November the 28th at 11:30 that night. She was pronounced at her home just after midnight, so her certificate of death says the 29th of November. Here we were just a few weeks before Christmas. I remember the overwhelming pain and hurt that I felt. I remember thinking that I never could have imagined that it would hurt so bad or feel so bad. But that Christmas, as much as I wanted to be happy with my wife and with my children, and I tried really hard and did everything I knew how to do, still I hurt really bad. Because there was something missing, a phone call that was usually made, an encounter that usually took place. They always say it's those first that hurt the most. And if you don't understand that, I hope you never have to, but all of us here at some point in our life will walk through those paths with someone where those first birthdays, those first times you go to grab the phone to call them because that's what you're used to doing, and they're not there to hear. For some of us at Christmas, maybe this year, it's not about joy. Though we know in our heart of hearts that's really what it's about, but we're not feeling that. For some of us, we're not feeling that life or that celebration, but the reality is maybe we're feeling sadness or grief or sorrow. Maybe it's a little bit different for you this year. Maybe this Christmas, your norm has changed. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where my normal changed, and that was hard to adjust to. But God's still there. Can you say amen? Our view of Christmas will determine how it is received in our life. Let's say it again. Our view of Christmas will determine how it's received, whether we receive it in sadness or whether we choose to receive it in joy. It's not just how we feel, but it's what we know. See, the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith and feelings are opposite of one another. You can go all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis when Adam and Eve were walking in relationship. That was faith. That was a relationship where they interacted with God. But whenever they committed sin, God came looking. What happened? God said, "Where were you? We were hiding. Why were you hiding? We were afraid." When you're no longer walking in faith or no longer walking in relationship, fear sets in. Well, amen. I believe today that we can turn our sadness or our sorrow into joy. The Bible said, put on the garment of praise. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all letting on right now. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, it's really hard for demonic power and tormenting spirits and discouragement to hang around when you begin to praise God. Vicki and I were talking this morning, and Tommy had walked in their classroom and said hello to them, and they were talking about their tree and they have and what it represented, and I made the statement, I don't remember exactly how it came across, or came about, but basically the tree, I said, I'm going to title a message one day, the tree that Jesus took down. You know, there was a tree that was put up, but that tree, He brought that tree down. He conquered that tree. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. You say it's not Easter. Well, I celebrate His birth because I know He's alive and I know He's going to return again. If you believe He came once, you got to believe He's coming again. Amen. If you believe He was a baby in a manger, you got to believe He's going to be the Son of God on that horse riding triumphantly, calling us back into glory. Well, amen. I feel a little old school Pentecostal coming on. Is that all right? The power of Christmas is found in what it represents. Ben made a statement this morning. You're going to hear it in this message. He had no idea that it was here. He had no idea what I'd wrote. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Let me ask you this. Is He your Savior? Sometimes I think that phrase has become something we just say. How many times, you know, living in the Bible Belt, do we meet good folks who go to a good church, read the good book, know the good Lord, but truth being on, they're really dying and on their way to hell because they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. Well, amen. And this will be their sign to you. You will find a babe. This was to the shepherds. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let me ask you this. Has it become easy for us to fall in concert mode when the Christmas carols are sung? I wish I could really sing. I'd belt one out right now for you, but you'd probably all want to leave if I started singing. Amen. Don't say amen to that one. We belt it out. We fall into concert mode. We all start singing. It's the Christmas carol, whatever the song may be. We hear them on the radio, but do we really understand what we're singing? I think for some of us, it's a Christmas song. But what does that mean? Joy to the world. Is that our heart? I think sometimes we forget that what we sing should be a declaration. I said that what we sing should be a declaration, not just because a song leader says sing it, not just because someone directs us or leads us, but because we want to declare unto God, our Lord, our Savior, that He is God Almighty, that we love Him, that we celebrate Him, that we declare His goodness over this land, over this world. It's not just some textbook idea, something some preacher wrote down, but it is truth. You know, the Bible teaches us there's power in what you say. If you're a gossip today, I pray you get saved. Because you're declaring things you shouldn't declare. You know what sometimes we say? Well, it's the truth. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean you need to say it. Well, amen. You don't have to like my hair, and you don't have to tell me. Now, if I ask you, that's different. Come on now. Some people just feel like they have to say it. Bless you, you need some extra Jesus. I had a lady walk in my office when I was pastoring my first church. I got this bright idea that I was going to highlight my hair. I don't think they call it highlighting anymore. They call it something else. You girls know what I'm talking about. I know none of you guys. Some of you just dyed a different color to cover up the gray. So don't be judging me for what I did. But I got this bright idea because that was what was going around. All the guys had their hair cut a certain way and had little like frosted tips in it. And I was 21 years old and I was going to get it good, and my wife stuck one of them caps on my head. You ladies know what I'm talking about. I thought she was going to gouge my brain right outside my ear. She had that crochet and hook looking thing, and she'd poke it through that thing. And I said, "Gotta stop! I can't!" Pulling my hair back through it, you know. And she put that stuff on it, and I'm sitting there, and I look in the mirror, and I said, "Get this off of me! I look like a canary! Get it off!" I had a lot of hair back then compared to now. And I didn't understand that there was a time frame, and I got so upset and so angry because I thought the color it looked like was the color it was going to be. And so she said, "Okay, buddy, you want it off? We'll take it off." So she took it off, and let me tell you, it was as taxicab yellow as you could possibly have asked for. So I'm embarrassed, man. I'm trying to figure out what in the world am I? This was on, I had to go to church that night. I went in my office and I sat down, and this lady walked in my office. Brother Dubose, she walked in my office, and when she did, she looked at me and she said, "What in the world gave you any idea that would look good?" Well, she had just got her hair permed in this little tight perm. Looked like a little poodle dog, and I thought it, but I didn't say it. Because I was not happy. I thought it might be true, and I'm already upset about it. In a minute, I got to walk in that pulpit, and who are you to tell me that? I wonder if we realize that sometimes we just fall into concert mode. Whether it be singing or whatever society's saying, and we say things like, "Well, it's the truth," or we just excuse what we're doing, or we lose sight of the value of our words. The simple hug and the word, "I love you," is so valuable, it's so precious in the world that you and I are living in. The one on your left or right or your front or your rear, behind you, wherever they sit today, they may not be seeing Christmas the way you do. They may not be facing it this year the way they faced it in days gone by. But they need some of us to declare the truth. Some of us to do it in love and encouragement and to wrap our arms around them and embrace them. Well, amen. What other time of year does the world join in singing praise to God? Think about this. What other time of year that non-Christians just gather and sing carols? They may not understand what they're saying, but they're saying it. I'm afraid that we've lost the sight of how powerful the opportunity of praise is during the Christmas season. The Bible said it inhabits the praises of all of Israel or His people. That if we would not praise Him, the rocks would cry out in our place. Sometimes I just want to look around during worship. I catch glimpses of people lifting their hands and praising God. And I hear them, and it makes me happy because I know that as we praise and worship together, that the presence of God fills a room. I know that. Not by feeling, but by faith. Hear what I just said. See, it's not by feeling that I determine that He's entered this room. It's by faith that I know that if I do what His Word says, He will honor that Word in my life. The other night, we were standing there at Carrabba's, and I was sharing with some of the ladies a little challenge that Sonny and I have been dealing with. And Leslie quickly said, "Let's pray. Why don't we pray about that right now?" My wife said to me, as we begin to leave, and I know you don't know this lady, but she was a dear friend of ours and very much called into intercessory prayer. And my wife said to me as we were driving out, she said, "Leslie has that same type of anointing," and she named our friend. And I said, "You're right. You're absolutely right. She does." There's certain anointings that you begin to identify, and you say, why are you telling me this? Because she seized a moment to speak truth. She seized a moment, pastor or not, brother in Christ, yes. She seized a moment. She saw a need. She obeyed the direction of the Spirit of God. I wonder if we realize in this season that all over the world that there are people giving praise and celebration to the birth of our Savior, and that you and I can sing these songs and we can glorify the Lord. They're not just a Christmas song, but many of them are declarations. Do not take them for granted. Do not treat them as just something you learn as a child or do when you go around and knock on doors. But seize a moment that all over the world, even below the equator where it's warm at Christmas time, got friends in other countries that celebrate Christmas and they're wearing shorts and swimming. And we're not. But no matter where you are, as followers of Christ, look at me right now. We get to declare the celebration of His birth. Notice these declarations. I want to read them to you, a few of them this morning. O holy night, in His name all oppression shall cease. Think about that. This declares the chain-breaking power. Do you still believe that what you sing can be a declaration? That you sing it out in prayer? Sometimes we miss that in our worship. We miss that in what we're singing. We miss that in what we're doing. We're not just following a script, but we take that and personalize it and sing it unto the Lord in faith. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. That's a prophetic statement of intercession. It's not just a kid's song. It's not just a carol. But it's a declaration. Do we believe it? Joy to the world. Let earth receive the one true King. Hark, the herald angels sing. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. These lyrics herald the miraculous healing power of a Savior. Maybe this year as we sing Christmas carols and songs that we should look at those lines again and consider what we are declaring. You say, Brother John, this isn't what I want to hear this morning, but it's what we need to hear. Because whether it be Christmas or the rest of the year, what we sing and what we declare as acts of worship unto God, man, look at the life of the psalmist David. He understood it. I said he understood it. Sometimes I just have to sing and declare. I hope today that we can really consider what we're singing and sing because we believe. Satan hates the global agreement that begins during the season of worship. He hates it. Can you imagine for just a moment what it must be like to the enemy when all of the church all over the world begins to sing and declare the birth of the Savior, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave? Psalm 22 verse 3 said, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praise of Israel. The power of Christmas is found in the sobering reminder of a Savior's presence. We're going to shift gears a little bit now. Are you ready? The power of Christmas is not in the celebration of the church, the decorations, a national holiday, or a commercialized event. That's not the power of Christmas. The power of Christmas is found in the celebration of a Savior's birth. Look at your children for a moment if you have children. Just look at them. Look at your wife. If you had a mirror, I'd tell you to look at yourself. You, them, and us, and we, and who, all who are here, are saved today because at a perfect time in history, chosen by God, proclaimed by angels, wise men, and shepherds, a baby was born. Mary carried the Savior of all mankind. Do you still believe that today? That's the power in Christmas. That's the message that we do our best to teach in the Advent celebration. Even down, I believe we can do it to the decorations that are on the tree. the tree, the evergreen, everlasting life. The red, symbolic of the blood of Christ. Are you following me? The white, His purity, holiness. The gold, His royalty. There are so many ways, even in a commercialized world, that we can teach our children that they not lose sight of the birth of our Savior. Christmas gifts and all those things are fun, but we have to bring it back to what it's truly about. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Why would I read that to you? Because that's what was laying in that manger. Did you hear what I just said? That's what was laying in that manger. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom." He was reading the fulfillment of Scripture and making a declaration in his adult life of what his purpose was, what God the Father had sent him to do, what he was anointed to do. Can I tell you, that's what was laying in that manger. Not Christmas trees and Christmas presents and the commercialized things that we see today, but what was laying in that manger changed our lives for all eternity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what laid in that manger. That got me from a devil's hell. That saved me and all of my mess and all of my wrong and all of my brokenness. Sometimes it amazes me how we like to try to live our lives as though we have it all together. But let me tell you something today. We all have our baggage. We all have our wrongs. We all have our weaknesses and our struggles and our imperfections in our families. And you know, we can walk around as if we have it all together. But I say to you today, it was because of that baby in that manger that today I'm free. Not because I had a perfect dad or mom or anything else in this life to perfect me or fix me or correct me. But it was Jesus. I sing these songs. I praise. I celebrate. My daughter said the other day that she was sad that she was not used to being so far from family. I said, "Sweetie, I understand. It's not easy, but we have to remember the real reason. We have to remember what we're celebrating and why." I want you to hear me. It has been said that Christmas is a magical time of year. Though magical is not the choice word for the Christian, it is the best word for the world's description. I want you to hear this. It's the best word for the world's description of the presence of a supernatural Savior who changed the world. It's the best way they know how. You and I have encountered Him. You and I know Him. It's not magical. It's supernatural. It's powerful. It knows no boundaries from one continent to the other. From the north, the south, the east, the west, into the deepest of jungles and the highest of mountains. From one manger, over 2,000 years ago, a message has been sent that He was anointed to set mankind free. Sing it like you believe it. Sing it because you know it. As we understand who we are celebrating, then we will understand what we are celebrating. The power of Christmas is found in the understanding of what Jesus came to do. He was born to save the lost. He was born to heal the sick. He was born to free those who were bound. This morning as I prayed, I found myself overwhelmed and praying for the freedom of those in bondage. I looked into the eyes of someone recently and I saw demonic power. I found myself on a regular basis, even though sometimes people frustrate me, we all deal with things in life, I still realize that that demonic force is the underlying cause. And I have to look past my natural frustration and call out the real reason. And so I find myself praying for freedom. Praying that persons or persons will be set free from the bondage of sin that holds them bound. Some people spend their entire lives bound in sin. What about you? The greatest gift that you could ever be given. The greatest gift you could ever receive was what laid in that manger. The power of Christmas is salvation. The power of Christmas is healing. The power of Christmas is freedom. The power of Christmas is joy. The power of Christmas is peace. The power of Christmas is unity. My last statement, and you need to hear it. When our perception, what is that? Our understanding. When our perception of Christmas is correct, then the power of Christmas will take effect in our lives. How many of us today are worrying about the gifts we need to buy? How many of us are concerned about the amount of money that we either have or don't have to spend? Maybe we're concerned about that certain gift that we're trying so hard to get. I remember when my children were little. One year, Casey, I think it was, she loved Dora. Anybody know who Dora is? Dora the Explorer. We bought her a 4-foot-tall Dora doll. She was it Kylie? Oh, it was Kylie. I'm sorry. They all get mixed up. They just kind of run. No. That one's free. Mama said it first. Got her a Dora doll. And, man, listen, that thing was cute and funny till you walked in on it at nighttime. A little bit creepy. But I remember hunting all over for that. And then I remember the talking Elmo or the dancing Elmo or whatever it was. Do y'all remember those? The Elmo that went like this? Yes, I did that in church, Kylie. People paying hundreds of dollars just to find them online because they were so limited everywhere. I remember sometimes the stress of finding that one thing they said they wanted. Ben said it well, and I'll say it again. When our perception of Christmas is correct, then the power of Christmas will take effect in our lives. Some years it's an abundance, some years it's not, but it doesn't change who and what we are celebrating. I want my babies to grow up knowing that Jesus is the reason. His birth was for eternal provisions that should be celebrated above all else. I've preached my heart out to you this morning. And all I care about today, all I want to know this morning, how many of you are in this house today that in your life you have embraced the Savior that was born in that manger? How many of you in this house of worship this morning have reached that place where you find yourself celebrating what Christmas is really about? I just hear the Lord right now. There's some of you here today, you're wounded. Karen, would you come for me, please? Let me be obedient right now. There's some of you here today that you're carrying some pain that this time of the year highlights in your life. I told you who that baby in the manger was. He said he was anointed to heal the sick, to save the lost, to mend the brokenhearted. I feel a prophetic just unction. Let me be obedient right now. You can live your lives in bondage, or you can live your lives in freedom. You can live your life trying to look like the church, or you can live your life being the church. Some of you got real excited and on a spiritual high when I became your pastor. Hear me out. Churches, whether you know this or not, we go through seasons. Build new buildings, start new programs, whatever those seasons are. And there's levels of intensity and excitement, and the church is encouraged. And everybody's just ready, like when a new pastor comes in. And you really dug into your word. Hear me out. You dug into your word. Joe said something to me one day. I asked for the answer, and Joe gave it to me. I think he said it very well. I asked him in one of the early days when we were, I guess you would say, trying out for the church here. I asked him and Jennifer standing there in the Family Life Center. I said, is everybody usually like this? Is it like this every Sunday? He said, well, I wouldn't say every Sunday. He said, I think, though, overall they're, you know, good people, happy people, and that type of thing. But he said something important. He said, I think that people are excited right now. Here's something I learned about excitement. Excitement's an emotion. If Ben and Sarah walked up today and Ben said, Pastor, the Lord laid it on my heart to give you my boat. I told you I felt a prophetic unction, brother. Kidding. But I mean, let's just say God, it comes with a lot of... if he came up and said, I got a brand new boat, somebody bless me, and I'm giving you my old boat. Oh man, I'd be excited. Right? I like guns. I don't have a lot, but I like them. I like knives. I like to collect. I like case knives. Anybody ever get a conviction to buy one? I like case knives. They got a lot of history to them. They're pretty unique. And when you look at how they're made, oh man, from the most inexpensive up to some that are $4,000 and $5,000. You know, they actually have some case knives, Angela, with woolly mammoth ivory. You better take up a lot of offerings to buy one of those. But we get excited. But here's the thing, excitement fades. It fades. Think about it. You get a new car. You just want to go drive it. I said you just want to go drive it. When Selena first got her Mustang, Conrad, I burnt the tires off that thing. I got out in the parking lot of a theater there in Statesboro, Georgia, big parking lot. We went to a late movie. It was wide open and empty. I looked around. Kids, do not follow my example. Let me tell you why. Because those Mickey Thompsons cost a lot of money. I mean, a lot. I got out there in the parking lot and I said, "Woo!" So he said, "You're going to tear my car." I said, "It's made for this. Be quiet." "Woo!" It was an empty parking lot. A few weeks later, I had to put brand new tires on it. You know what? My excitement level went shh. Because reality set in. You can burn rubber all you want, but you're paying for all that rubber you're putting on the ground. Are you listening to me? here's my point. When I first came in, some of you got so excited. Man, you were in your word. You were praying. You were ready to do more for God. Do not fall back into a sleep and a place of slumber. God's called us to do more for the kingdom. If you know why that baby was in that manger and who that baby was, it's time during this Christmas season to relight that fire in your life. To get out of that seat of complacency and step back up to the forefront of the battle and say, God, I want to be passionate to serve you. Don't ride the waves of excitement. Get rooted in who God is. Are you hearing me? One of my wife's co-workers watches the service every week, Miss Brenda. I'm going to say hey to you, Miss Brenda. She told me the other day at the bank, she said she liked that thing I told her the other day about me not being a boring preacher. Relight the fire in you. And let's celebrate Jesus together. You ready? All right. Won't you stand with me? I still got two things left to do. I'm going to ask David and Ashley if they'll come down front this morning. And while they're coming, would you bow your heads with me? Just close your eyes. All over this room this morning, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I have lost sight. I didn't mean to, but I really got distracted. And I've heard God today say, my perspective had to change. My declarations of worship for this season needed to be different. And I'm ready. I'm ready to make that move today. I'm not going to call you out of your seat, but I want at least an act of accountability. We need that in our lives. Where you're standing right now, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, Pastor, I'm ready for it to change. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else? Thank you. Who else? Father, I preach my heart out. I've done what I could do. I can't do it all, Lord. Only you can. Without your anointing, your presence, your spirit, your love, it's pointless. Bless these that raise their hand today. Give them the strength and the courage to refocus and to fine-tune. To come back to a bent knee, an open Bible, a time of intimacy with you. Become who you have called them to be. Blessings of the Lord now upon them all. For every hand raised and every act of accountability. Hear them, meet them where they are, Holy Spirit. And bring that change in their life. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask David and Ashley to come stand down front for me right here if you would. And just face the church. I'm going to ask the rest of our youth. I call you like youth advisors or youth council, youth sponsors, some people call you. But all of those on the youth leadership team, Josh and Brianna, you guys, the Souths, and Stephanie and Michael aren't in here. I think Stephanie's working nursery today, I think. Ben and Sarah, would you guys come? Anybody? Am I missing anyone? Come and stand around them. We're going to, sweetheart, would you help me out, please? Let's get some oil here. When I came here, this church does something different than any church I've ever pastored. They lead the youth as really a team effort. They'll have 50-plus teenagers back there some Wednesday nights. It's absolutely amazing what God's been doing with these kids. Now, I respect David very much. He works full-time. His wife works full-time. Not only with their job, but their household. They have kids. Would you come join Mom and Dad? Come on. Come stand with them. Miss Kate turned 12. Not quite. You haven't turned yet, but y'all celebrated it this weekend. When is your birthday? The 27th. So we'll make sure we give her a happy birthday. Lexi Joe. I like the Joe part. They tell me that she doesn't use that, but I like it. I think it's cute. Who are we missing? Is this everybody? Where? Okay. All right. But I asked this couple in conversation. I began to find out the process started before I arrived. And there was a reluctancy, not because they didn't want to serve, but because they have so many responsibilities, but yet they do so much already. We need in our church, like every ministry, that lead person that we can point people to concerning youth ministry. And so they have accepted the responsibility to take the title and role of youth directors here in our church. They're doing an amazing job. But at the same time, these that stand beside them are all doing a job as well. And so they work as a team, but they're the funnel. They're the top of the funnel. And so as youth directors, most churches could not do this the way they're doing it. It is very inspiring to me as a pastor to see how they function as a team and how they support each other and the investment that they are making in these kids' lives. These kids love them. My daughter told me one day, and she'll probably get on to me for saying this, but she said, "I love Miss Ashley. I just love her." And there's a reason for that. She's connected with her. Amen? And so I'm thankful. We want to lay hands on them today and anoint them. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hand this way, because we never know how this team will shift. We don't know where Ben and Sarah might end up at some point doing a different job in the church, or where Josh or whoever, this team can fluctuate, but they are the centerpieces. And we want them to know that we believe in what God has called them to do and the investment that they're making in these kids' lives and in these children's lives. Father, I lay my hands on your servants today. So we need to anoint her if you would. Father, I pray that an anointing that is fresh and mighty. Lord, an anointing to see and an anointing to hear. To see further, to see farther, to see more. To see first. To see what you'd have him to see. Declare what you would have him to declare. Lord, this man takes it serious, protecting his home, protecting his family. He takes it serious, his declaration of servitude and leadership over the life of these children. Both he and Ashley make a perfect team. But they're incomplete without your anointing. Anoint them mightily. Empower them for the call, the purpose, and all that you've set them out to do. Well, thank you for the team that surrounds them. Thank you for the leadership that's there. Thank you from the youngest to the eldest. Thank you for the calling of God that's on their life and how they walk together unified. And they speak into the hearts of these children in a well-balanced way. Father, we bless them today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May they become everything you've called them to be and serve at every capacity, at every level, and every depth which you've called them to serve. And Father, we'll be eternally grateful for it. In Jesus' name. Can we all say a big amen? Amen. Let's give them a hand this morning. Thank you, guys. Amen. This time, I'm going to ask those that are joining the church this morning if they'll come and as a family and line across the front here. I know Guy, Mangrum, if you guys will come, both those families together, and just line up across the front here and face the congregation for me. I first met Sailor standing right there at that corner. I didn't know him. I'd only been here about a week or two, and some of the men gathered leaders to lay their hands on him and pray for him. He was going to have surgery, I think, the next day. And Selena at that time had not went to work yet since we had moved here. And Kylie, of course, was summertime. They were out of school. They went with me. We loaded up and headed to Atlanta the next morning to go to the hospital. He was having surgery for a major scoliosis, like a 45-degree angle or 90-degree. I don't know. It was a lot. I don't understand all that, but it was severe. Of course, today he's doing great. He thinks he's real handsome. Y'all give him a hand. He's a good-looking young man. You got your looks from who, your mom or your dad? Mama, okay. All these kids are beautiful and sweet and kind. We met Brian and Tommy the first time here, actually. And he shared something with me. He said that, and I think it was you that said it. If it wasn't, it was your wife. I believe it was you, Brian. He said the first Sunday they walked in here, he said they'd got up that morning, they'd reached a point in their life where they knew that God was moving them. And I think that they had intention to go somewhere else, but for whatever reason, they ended up here that morning. And he said when they walked in, he said, and worship started, he said he just knew, they both knew before they ever left that this is where God wanted them to be. They knew it. And so it's very encouraging to see. These are full families, guys, from the youngest right on up to, I can't say oldest because they're not very old, amen. But we are very proud to see them become a part of Mountain Gap. We're very thankful for their leadership. Thankful. We already see both families invested. Already invested and involved in serving here in the church. And that's always exciting to a pastor. I'm going to tell you a few more things, and then we're going to pray over them and let you come around. We'll close by allowing you to come greet them. I know most of you know them or met them already, but if you haven't, we want to make sure you get that opportunity today. They have professed their faith in Jesus Christ. They have professed their agreement with the doctrines and beliefs of this house. And I am beyond grateful today to present them to you as a body of believers to join this church and become new members of Mountain Gap Church. So by hand of acclamation, can we have a big hand of acceptance for them today? Amen. I see you more than you know. I do. I see you coming out of the school all the time. You just don't see me and that little girl that walks with you. You think about who it is, aren't you? It could just be a friend. I'm picking on you. But we're very happy to have all of these here. I'm going to ask our council members that can, would you come and just gather around these families? We're going to pray for them. And then we're going to let everybody get out of their seat and greet them before we go home today. Very thankful. Amen. I saw a van the other night while they're coming, you know, with Tim and Michelle's family enlarging. They bought them a new van, and I said to my wife, that's what we needed when we had our foster daughters and all our kids at home. Everybody joked that I needed a church van because there were so many of us that without my SUV, it took two vehicles just to go anywhere. Actually, two or three. I don't remember. But we had to get an SUV to make it work. And burn the tires off. But we were headed to Macon the other night for the Christmas council fellowship with the church council members. And we saw a van identical headed up I-75, and it had a Pike County tag. And I just knew it was them for it to have a Pike County tag and be the same kind of van. And we couldn't see through the tinted windows to see if it was Tim driving or not. So I called his wife and said, hey, are you guys in Macon? She's like, no, we were at the volleyball thing. Somebody else, you know. Very thankful to have them here. All right, guys, lay your hands on them if you would, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe in the gifts and the callings of God. We believe in divine appointment. And Lord, we believe in covenant. As these men and women stand here today, they have come into covenant with this house. They are not just going on paper as a member. They're not just going through some formality, but they have come into covenant agreement that, God, this is where you want them. This is where you've called them to serve. This is home for them. So in Jesus' name, may a hedge of protection surround their families. May the anointing of the Most High God rest upon all of these that stand here today. May we be able to lead them in the calling and the purpose of God for their life. May we raise them up into the fullness, God, of all that you desire for them to do in your kingdom. And as leaders of this house, we bless them. We join together with them that they can and will become everything God is calling them to be. We commit ourselves as Mountain Gap, as the body of Christ, to serve them, love them, embrace them, to walk with them through the good and the bad in this life, and to come into covenant with you together to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless them now, Lord. We charge them in the calling, we charge them in the purpose, and we set them forth in this house under this covering, under your anointing. And we'll be grateful for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
joining us today. Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.